if there would be a title for the message today, it would be, how do we come into the presence of God? And I pray that when you come to the gathering of the saints, that you consider it to be just that. The Song of Solomon, in the opening of the book, Solomon writes, "Let him kiss me with the kisses of his mouth." And he talks about that love of Christ. In the second chapter, he says, "As the apple tree among the trees of the wood, so is my beloved among the sons. I sat down under his shadow with great delight, and his fruit was sweet to my taste." I pray that you come into the presence of God on the Lord's day, and that you have an expectation that God is going to meet with you personally. I pray that that is how you come. I pray that you come prepared to hear from the Lord every single Lord's day. It will back up to, I pray that God meets with you in your personal and private devotions. When you're at your homes, when you're in your secret place, I pray that God meets with you there. I pray that you'd never get up from the presence of God or from the Word of God and not be spoken to by God. If we do, that's a terrible thing. It's a terrible thing to walk out of this building today with nothing. And I can tell you, we've already been in the presence of God. I think the brother spoke, and he indicated this, that one thief heard and one thief didn't hear. Listen, it is my desire that every one of you hear, not from Jimmy Downing, but from the Spirit of God, from the Word of God today. I'll take you to Psalm 95. Psalm 95, to open. And so how did you come this morning to the gathering of the saints? Did you come to actually appear before God? Did you come to enter into His presence? I pray that you did. Psalm 95, verse 1 says, "O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise unto the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving, and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God and a great King above all gods. In His hand are the deep places of the earth. The strength of the hills is His also. The sea is His. He hath made it, and His hands form the dry land. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker, for He is our God, and we are the people of His pasture and the sheep of His hand. Today, if ye will hear His voice." Now listen, sadly, some come into the presence of God. They come to the church and they come to the gathering of the saints, and silently in their hearts, they will not hear. There are those that come to the gathering like that. Or they hear something from the Word of God and they say in their hearts, no. Today, if you will hear His voice, harden not your heart as in the provocation, and as in the day of temptation in the wilderness. They were all of Israel. That was all Israel in the wilderness. But many provoked. And God says, because they have provoked me and they would not hear and obey my word, they will not enter into that promised land. Beloved, I pray that you would hear today. I pray that you came to the worship this morning with your heart prepared to seek the Lord and to hear from His holy word. Listen, that is an imperative for us. We must take time to prepare ourselves to meet with the Lord. The Apostle John in Revelation 1 and verse 10 said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." And it says, "And I heard behind me a great voice of a trumpet." Listen, if you're not in the Spirit on the Lord's day, you may not hear anything. And listen, this is a stark reality. I pray that you are in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and that before you left your house, you prepared your heart. If you didn't, do it now. Ask the Lord to put your heart into the frame of mind to hear and to listen to God's word. I pray that every time you gather with the saints, that you have gathered to meet with God. And that you can ascend out of this world to the third heaven as Paul did and enter into the presence of God and hear his word. Listen, I was spoken to loud and clear in that first service. I'm so thankful. It blessed my soul. I pray that you heard as well. But listen, how often do we come to the church gathering to worship God in a state of spiritual dullness? And listen, I'm pointing at me first because it's happened to me. And you say, yes, but you're the preacher. And yes, I've come to the gathering in a state of spiritual dullness, too busy to prepare, not too busy to prepare, but unprepared, in a state of spiritual dullness. I've come to appear before God. My heart was unfixed and unfocused upon God, only to leave the same way I came. And listen, that's a bad way. That's a dishonoring way to worship our God. Listen, we enter the church gathering, but our hearts are elsewhere. Busy, filled with other things, with the cares of this life. We're cold toward the things of God. We come, but we have not deliberately in our hearts come to appear before God. Listen, this is a mindset that we need to cast off. If we would desire to hear from God, which I believe if you've come, you desire to hear from God. I hope that you do, that you would prepare your heart to seek the Lord. It ought to grieve us if we leave the worship and the preaching of God's word unmoved. Listen, we ought to be moved by the preaching of God's word. I will use this term. We ought to experience the felt presence of God. That might scare some, but listen, we ought to enter into the presence of God. And that leads me to this question for each of you this morning, for myself. Do you believe that when we gather today on the Lord's Day, that the Spirit of God is in the midst of our gathering? Do you believe the Spirit of God is here now in the midst of our gathering? Listen, I can bear witness for me, myself. Yes, the Spirit of God spoke to me. He's in the midst of this gathering. He descends into our midst. Nothing holy about this building. When everybody leaves, the Spirit of God's not here, floating around in the building. He's not here. But when God's people gather, the Spirit of God descends into our midst. And listen, in the real sense, you should bring the Spirit of God here within you. Look at Romans chapter 8. Quickly, Romans chapter 8, if I could read this. Just a few verses in Romans 8 and verse 5. Listen, if there is anything that I am jealous for your assembly, for our assembly, for the assembly and the gathering of the saints, is that the Spirit of God would dwell among us and we would know His presence. Listen, Paul says, in Romans chapter 8, verse 5, he says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh." What are you minding when you come into the gathering of the saints? Where is your mind? In fact, this word is the same word in Colossians 3:2. That word is affection. "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of the God." Set your affection, your mind. Here, "they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, they mind the things of the Spirit. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God." And listen, it's not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." This does not describe a Christian. Listen, a Christian can think carnally. We have times when we think of carnal things, but a Christian is not carnally minded. A Christian is to be spiritually minded. We are to walk with God, walk in the Spirit. And he goes on, he says, "But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, child of God. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you." Listen, if you're a child of God, this is you. The Spirit of God is in you. "Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his." Again, what have you set your mind on today? Set your affection on things above. You remember Sisera? You remember she went into Jael's tent And Sisera said, "Hide me." And she covered him up and she took a nail and drove it through his temples and nailed his head to the earth. Too many Christians today are trying to live the Christian life with their heads nailed to the earth. Brethren, we need to set our affection on things above, especially so when we're coming to meet with our God. Listen, if you're a Christian and you're born again by the Spirit of God, you are begotten of God unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, Peter says. The Spirit of God is in you. Therefore, you ought to be consistently spiritually minded. And so the question again, are you in the Spirit today on the Lord's day? And just some questions for you. Do you believe, and listen, I challenge you to ask yourself these questions. Our Christian lives ought to be filled with us asking ourselves questions as we hear the preaching of God's word, as we read God's word, when we read the truth of God's word. So for you, do you believe that we ought to feel the presence of God in our church gatherings? By feel the felt presence, I'm not talking about some charismatic, phony, fake thing. I'm talking about God moving you by his word, by God speaking to you in your inmost soul. Have you heard God? Should our hearts be moved when the word of God is opened and preached here on the Lord's day? Should that move us as children of God? Listen, Brother Kevin said that thief was supernaturally saved, and he was radically different the very moment that Christ saved him. Radically different, a new heart, a changed man. And when God saves us from our sins, we ought to be radically different than when we were. Supernaturally saved, he also said, salvation is of the Lord. That's a supernatural power that has brought us, translated us, conveyed us from that kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Listen, we ought to be completely different under our new heavenly Father. Listen, there's two kingdoms, two fathers. How could we not rejoice and be moved to be in the presence of our God who has saved us from our sins? Shouldn't we have the expectation then on the Lord's day that God is going to descend into our midst and meet with us? Shouldn't we seek the presence of God? Listen, I preach this to our church. Has our gatherings, or perhaps to you, has the church meeting to you, or meeting in the presence of God, is that a foreign concept now to us? Is it a foreign concept that God is going to descend into our midst and his powerful presence is going to move us and he's going to speak with us? And again, I'm not charismatic, and let me just make sure you understand, I'm not talking about a synthetically hyped up church service designed to incite your carnal emotions. I'm talking about being moved by the Spirit of God and by the Word of God, privately and publicly. Listen, when God speaks from his word, we ought to hear it. It ought to move us. We ought to desire to hear more of it. And so the question for you today is, how do you receive God's word? 1 Thessalonians 2:13. Listen what Paul, he wrote to the Thessalonians, and he wrote about them. He said, "For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you, Church of Thessalonica, when you received the word which you heard of us," and listen how they received it, he said, "you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe." That word effectual is the word energeo. It was active in their lives. He told the church at Thessalonica, you received it as the word of God. And that's how we must receive the truth and the preaching of God's word. Brethren, receive it. Acts 17:11, the Bible speaks of the Bereans. It says, they received the word with readiness of mind. And they left and they searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. one of the Beatitudes, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. You try and feed someone that's full, they don't want to eat. We need to come to the service of our Lord and to the worship and the gathering of the saints hungry, hungering and thirsting after righteousness. But if we're filling ourselves up with what's out there in the world, brethren, we're not going to be hungry for the things of God. So if you're like me, you want the Spirit to be present and active and moving in your Lord's Day gathering. You should want that. You should desire that. And listen, part of having it is confessing that if you haven't had it, is confessing it to the Lord that you haven't come and desire the presence of God. Part of it is being honest with God. So listen, understand, therefore, with all that's been said so far, how you show up at the meeting matters. If you're a child of God, you should deliberately prepare yourself to come into God's holy presence on the Lord's Day gathering. Gather in such a way as to please Him. Enter by faith, Hebrews 11:6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God. Without faith, come with the expectation by faith that God is going to speak to you. And I believe with all of my heart that He will. Without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he or she that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Look at Acts chapter 10. I want you to see how a man's personal devotion translated into a public visitation of God with Cornelius. Acts chapter 10, verses 1 to 4. The Bible says there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band of the Italian band, a devout man and one that feared God with all of his house, which gave much alms to the people and prayed to God always. Now, Luke is telling us about the Cornelius, the centurion's life. He saw in a vision, evidently about the ninth hour of the day, an angel of God coming into him and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, what is it, Lord? And he said unto him, thy prayers and thine alms are come up for a memorial before God. Now we know what happened there is that Peter was sent to preach to Cornelius and those that are gathered, that were gathered with him. Now, we're not going to read the whole account, but if you go to verse 33, Cornelius gives his recollection and his account of what happened, and he tells Peter in verse 33, he says, immediately therefore I sent to thee, Peter, and thou hast well done that thou art come. Now therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Brethren, that's how we need to gather together in the presence of our God. To gather together and say, Lord, I am ready to hear what you would say to thy servant. And again, there's something very wrong, beloved of God, is if we leave this place of worship unmoved and having felt or heard nothing from God. Has that ever happened to you and you leave and the next day someone says, well, what was the message on? And you say, I don't remember. You know what's even worse than that? Is when the preacher forgets. What did you preach on yesterday, brother? Brethren, God has been so good to us to save us from our sins, to give us an inheritance, an eternal inheritance. And shall we so soon forget how good He has been to us? Again, when I say we ought to be moved and that we ought to feel the presence of God, I'm not talking about something fleeting and spurious, something fake. I'm not talking about something temporary and something that's gone as soon as we leave the Lord's Day service. I'm not talking about an emotional high conjured up by special effects or by loud or soft music or some other fake man-made experience. I'm talking about being moved by the Spirit of God and the Word of God. When the Spirit of God takes the Word of God and speaks to us. John 14 and verse 21. John chapter 14 and verse 21. John 14, 21, the Lord Jesus, speaking to his apostles here, he said, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me, and he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him." Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, "Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not to the world?" Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we," that is the Father and the Son, "we will come unto him and make our abode with him." Now that's something that you need to ruminate upon for a while. God will come in his presence and make his abode with us. In us. Brethren, throughout the Holy Scriptures, we read of expressions of praise, of gladness, and of joy in the saints of old who actually experienced God's holy presence in their gatherings and personal devotions. My question for you is that all gone today? Is that gone? Are we to just enter into our churches and sit like Stoics and hear the word and then just leave? Are those experiences no longer a part of the Christian life? Is God's presence a foreign concept to our Christianity? Are we now relegated to sitting as lifeless Stoics in our gatherings? Have we become so religiously formal that we can only listen to the preaching of God's word like a boring classroom lecture from a history textbook? I pray that that's never the case with us. And when the preaching of God's word is over, is it normal for us as God's people to rise from it? And I know I've said this already, I'll say it again, to rise from the preaching of God's word unmoved. Have we filled ourselves with knowledge about God, but are we not moved by God's word in our innermost man and in our spirits, in our souls? Listen, there's something wrong with that. If that's how it is with you and I, if that's how it is with you, I hope you're not satisfied with coming and going to church and gathering like that. Again, I'm not talking about something fake or manufactured. I'm talking about something real, something genuine, something heaven sent. We say at times, as I just said, God spoke to me in the preaching of his word. Has God spoken to you in the preaching of his word? Listen, if God spoke to you personally from his word, that should powerfully impact your life. Think about it. God spoke to me. The uncreated God spoke to me from his word. That's why we gather together, brethren, to hear from God. And let me just say that when God's word is being preached, God is speaking personally to you if you're here. Are you listening? Are you hearing? If God has spoken to you, you might say, what does that look like when God speaks to someone? If God has spoken to you, you will worship him from your heart and you will gladly obey what he has commanded you from his word. If you've heard from God, your heart will be changed. Your heart will be renewed. Like the thief's heart was changed, he was a radically different person. And when God speaks to us, brethren, we are to be growing in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We are to be being built up upon our most holy faith in Christ. We are to be changing. We are to be going from faith and to faith. We are to be being built up. We are to being made more sanctified. We are to be being conformed more and more to the image of Christ. If you've sinned against the Lord and God speaks to you, you will repent and turn from your sins. The worst thing for any Christian is to not be tender of heart when they have sinned. Listen, that's how the Spirit of God speaks. The Spirit of God convicts us and convinces us of our sins. And that's not just for sinners, it's for saints. When we've sinned against God, if we confess our sins, we acknowledge our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Brethren, we are not to be at idle. We're not to be sitting still. We're not to be living some dull, boring Christian life. That's not what Christianity is. Brethren, our hearts should be filled with joy and gladness and genuine praise to God. There should be an expectation when we come into this building, not of Brother John, not of Brother Kevin, not of any preacher, but that we would hear from the living God. Listen, that ought to be the Christian life that we live. And when we leave, we ought to leave the church building as the eunuch got up out of the water and he went on his way rejoicing. Brethren, we ought to say, it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Again, the Spirit of God uses His word to fashion each of you after His image. And that should constantly be happening in yours and in my life. But listen, it will not be so for you if you don't first enter into the presence of God in your private time and in your personal devotion. You see, you can't come to the church gathering. You cannot be living two separate lives. If you would worship God and hear from God here in the corporate worship, if you would come in the Spirit, if you would come and your heart be prepared to seek God, then you must first have sought the Lord in your personal life. You can't just flip a switch. You can't go from a cold, lifeless Christian life out in the world Monday through Saturday and all of a sudden flip a switch and come into the church gathering and expect to be spiritual. And expect to actually hear from God. Brethren, you cannot be cold and lifeless toward God outside of the gathering and expect to be warm and devoted to God within the gathering. Turn to Psalm 100 and we'll spend the balance of our time there. I would like you to consider Psalm 100, the words of the psalmist, the heart of the psalmist, that we may rightly enter into the presence of our God. Listen, our worship is, it's a serious thing. If I might say, your soul is at stake, your eternity. If you're lost and you're outside of Christ, I keep thinking of things Brother Kevin said. Isaiah 55 says, seek ye the Lord while He may be found, if you're lost. Call ye upon Him while He is. Kevin talked about that proximity. He was near to Christ. Call ye upon Him while He is near. If you're lost today and you're in this little building and you're hearing the word of God, God is near you. Call ye upon Him while He is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and He will have mercy upon him. Psalm 100. I think it's an excellent psalm for how we ought to come into the presence of God. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. This is a repeated stanza from Psalm 98 and verse 4 says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. Not a manufactured noise, and not necessarily the noise of musical instruments, beloved, but the joyful noise of praise, of voices of the saints of God from all over the world to rejoice in the God of their salvation. The psalmist tells them, rejoice in the Lord. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. The psalmist calls upon the people of God to make that joyful noise unto the Lord. Literally means make a glad shout. Now, I'm not telling you to start shouting in the service. People express their joy silently. Many, some are more vocal, and it shouldn't be a fake or phony thing. But listen, we should be a people joyful in our God, to make a joyful noise unto our Lord. This ought to be the real Christian experience of our lives. If we joy and rejoice in our God, this blessed noise of praise ought to come forth, beloved, out of our mouths. Have you come this morning joyful, glad to enter into the presence of your God? Or was it a drudgery? I think about the useless and worthless earthly reasons that I lifted up my voice for temporal and foolish things when I was lost. Oh, that we would lift up our voices joyfully unto our God. Habakkuk says, although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall the fruit be in the vine. The labor of the olive tree shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat, and the flock shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd waiting in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The psalmist goes on, he says, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Gladness means come with pleasure into his presence. If we would please God in our personal lives, beloved, we must serve the Lord with gladness in all that we do. But if we're not serving the Lord with gladness in our everyday lives, beloved, in our jobs, in our homes, in our everyday circumstances, the things, the times and seasons of our lives, it's going to be very difficult, even impossible, to flip the switch and all of a sudden serve the Lord with gladness on the Lord's day. Listen, we need to be serving the Lord with gladness out there. Because we're servants of the Lord, not just here, but out in the world. At your job, you're a servant of the Lord. In your homes, you're a servant of the Lord. And so serve the Lord with gladness, beloved. So how do you serve God every day? Ephesians 6:5. How are you serving God? Your service to the Lord out in the world should be a testimony of the grace of God in you, should be a testimony of the goodness of God in your own life. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 5, Paul says here, servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling and singleness of heart, as unto Christ. Not with eye service. Everybody knows what that is, right? Not with eye service, not just because others are watching you. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as the servants of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, doing service as to the Lord and not to men. As unto the Lord and not to men. Then Colossians 3 and verse 22. Colossians 3, 22. Paul here says much of a very similar thing to the Colossians. He says, servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness or sincerity of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. How much more should your worship be heartily worshiped? Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Brethren, how are we serving God? How are we serving God in the world? How are we serving God at our jobs? How are we serving God in our families? Are we devoted to God there? Are we devoted to God in our private times and our personal devotions? Brethren, that'll spill over into the church. Psalm 84, beloved, this is how we ought to come and enter into the presence of our God. Psalm 84 and verse 1. Psalm 84 verse 1. The psalmist here speaks of what should be our experience. How amiable, how lovely are thy tabernacles, O Lord of hosts. My soul longeth, yea, even fainteth for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh crieth out for the living God. Yea, the sparrow hath found an house, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may lay her young, even thine altars, O Lord of hosts, my King and my God. Blessed are they that dwell in thy house. They will still be praising thee, Selah. Listen, serve the Lord with gladness. come before his presence with singing. No one, brethren, listen, no one wants to be served by an unwilling, by a discontented, or by a dissatisfied servant, much less God. If we would have God's presence in our midst, we must first be genuinely glad to come into his holy presence. Again, come before his presence with singing. Verse 3 and 4, the psalmist says, back to Psalm 100, he says, "Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves." And yet the world is full of people, brethren, let this never be us, that think themselves to be self-made. And they take all of the honor for their talents and abilities to themselves. Let it never be us, beloved. We are God's people. We are the sheep of his pasture. Again, Psalm 95:7, we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Brethren, let us remember this. We are God's own sheep. And then enter into his gates, Psalm 100, with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. This is how we ought to enter into the presence of our God every Lord's Day. Simply by virtue of the fact that God created us and that we belong to him. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture, beloved. Psalm 116. Psalm 116 and verse 16. O Lord, truly I am thy servant, the psalmist says. I am thy servant and the son of thine handmaid. Thou hast loosed my bonds. I will offer to thee the sacrifice of thanksgiving and will call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord, in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of thee, O Jerusalem, praise ye the Lord. Beloved, I pray you've come into the presence of God with thanksgiving and with praise unto our Lord. Christian, the Lord your God is and has been eternally good to you. For the Lord is good, Psalm 100 and verse 5. He is good. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endureth to all generations. It was the goodness of God that led you to repentance if you're a Christian today, when you were lost and dead in your trespasses and sins. The Lord is, again, not was good. The Lord is good. And he continues to demonstrate his goodness to us as his people by simply speaking to us in his holy word. Every time we open up this book with the seven seals, we ought to pray that God would unseal the book and speak to us. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. God's word was true 1,000 years ago, and it's still infallibly true today. We should be honored, privileged to sit under the preaching of it, to open it up in our private times and read it, to study it, to meditate upon it, and to obey the words of our high captain and the high commander of heaven, our Lord. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. In closing, beloved, if we would feel the felt presence of God personally in our Lord's Day gatherings, I pray this for Grace Baptist Church of Mount Pleasant. I pray this for your churches. If you're not from this assembly, I pray this for our church, beloved. If we would experience the felt presence of God personally in our Lord's Day gatherings, if you and I would be spoken to by God, it will come to pass when we come into the presence of our God with glad hearts, with prepared hearts, with ready hearts, and with an expectation to hear from God and from his holy word. God will speak to you. We must come into the presence of our God as Cornelius and those men that were with him came into the presence of Peter to hear the preaching. Listen, I listen to your pastor weekly. God sets a lavish table for you every single Lord's Day. All that's required of you is to come before the presence of God, hungry and with glad hearts and ready to receive what the Lord has set for you. Now, therefore, we are all here present before God to hear all things that are commanded thee of God. Oh, that our hearts would be like that all the time. And I'll close with Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verses 1-5. Oh, that our hearts would be the heart of the psalmist. David says, O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is. Now, I'll just tell you quite honestly right now that that is not always me in my personal devotion. And when that's not me, I need to repent of my lukewarm heart and seek the Lord that that would be me. Brethren, if that's not you, if that's not us, it ought to be us. That we seek and hunger, our souls thirst after the presence of our God in our lives. Notice he says, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen in the sanctuary. Because thy loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee, Lord, upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. My soul followeth hard after thee. My soul followeth hard after thee. Thy right hand upholdeth me. Is that you? I'm just honest. That's not always me. But I'm also honest. I want that to always be me. It ought to always be me. And I am reminded of my depravity when it's not. God is never the problem as to why we're not being spoken to. We are the problem. And so, beloved, I pray that in your secret prayer closets, you know, Jesus says, but thou, when thou prayest, that indicates that you do pray in private. When you pray, enter into your closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. And you want something that needs, this is something that needs to be at the top of your list of things that you pray for. That you would enter into the presence of God. When you open up this word in your private devotion times, and when you come in here, if there's anything that you should agonize before God over, it's that. That God would speak to you. It's terrible to close this and not get anything. It's terrible to walk out and to walk out having not been moved at all. And so if you get anything, I pray that it be that, beloved. That you experience God's presence, not a fake and phony presence, but the felt presence of God. And you've been moved by his holy word. And I pray that the Lord would use this and use his weak servant to bless you. Let's pray. Father, we ask that you would please be with these precious souls. Father, I pray that you would make sense of my fumbling words. And that, Father, you would speak to every soul here. Father, I pray, Oh God, that your word would stick into our hearts like a barbed arrow. Father, I pray, we know that your word will go forth. It shall not return void. Father, I pray a rich blessing upon Grace Baptist Church here and its pastor. Bless these people, Father. Build them up upon their most holy faith. May they experience the joyful presence of the living God in their assemblies. May they experience the presence of God in their private devotions, in their families. May they experience the presence of God as they go about their lives Monday through Saturday. Oh God, may we all serve the Lord with gladness and then come before your presence with singing, ready to hear from thee every Lord's day. And we'll give you the glory and the honor. We ask it in the highly exalted name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.